Yeah, so we're at the live room again, and the first show of 2018. And welcome to Outside Track.
Thanks very much. Thanks for having us.
Thank you. Lovely to be here.
And we've had your CD, Flash Company, for quite a while, and we'd actually thought you'd been here before, but you haven't.
No.
So it's great to see you. Could you tell us who you are and also the other members of your band?
Yeah, I'm Teresa Horgan from County Cork, and I play the flute and I sing in the band.
And my name's Ailey Robertson. I'm from Edinburgh and I'm the harp player in the band. And then also joining us, we've got Maddie Rankin, who's our fiddle player and step dancer, and she's from Cape Breton Island in Canada. And then there's Fiona Black, who's our accordion player. She's from the Highlands of Scotland. And Michael Ferry, and he's from a little village in Perthshire in Scotland.
And I gather that, am I correct, you've done 5 CDs overall over the years?
We have done 4.
4?
Yeah, we're making our 5th one this in June. We're recording our 5th one. So yeah, we're just working on new material for that right now.
And you've had a little bit of change in membership of the band, I think, since Flash Company.
Yeah, inevitably. I mean, the band have been together for 12 years now, so inevitably people have come and go over the time. So this is our latest incarnation, but our most recent CD was Light Up the Dark, and we had Teresa's lead singer on that one. And then, so it'll be almost the same lineup again, just guitar players changed since then. Yeah.
One of the things we talk about with bands, and certainly the songwriting, is about a sense of place, and you're from all over the place, really. So is it Cape Breton that brings you all together? Or
Well, we bring all of our styles into the band, you know, from like Scotland, Ireland and Cape Breton. The band started, we met through the course in Limerick, an Irish music course. And that's how 3 of us met initially, and then we found others along the way at festivals and through word of mouth. And
I'm intrigued by the writing, you know, really thoughtful songs. And you write quite a few of them yourself, Ailey?
I write a couple of the tunes, not the songs, but some of the tunes I write myself, yeah. And so do all the band. Everyone contributes stuff, especially for the new album. There's lots of us writing things for that.
And some of the lyrics are so good that you have lyrics on your website. That's really helpful. And the one about the dream.
Peter's dream. So thought-provoking.
Can you tell us a bit of backstory for that?
Yeah, so that was written by Peter Gallant, and he's from Lenny Gallant, I was thinking Peter's dream. Lenny Gallant, and he's an Acadian singer-songwriter, and he wrote this song because he's from this little island, Prince Edward Island, and one of the main industries there was fishing, and a lot of the local people relied on that, and then bigger ships came in, and so their industry was depleting, and his family was really affected by that, and particularly his uncle Peter. So he wrote this song for his uncle Peter and called it Peter's Dream.
Yeah, that links in with the interest that we always have in the social issues, you know, of a particular place or of a particular time. And there's certainly plenty that would stimulate a songwriter at the moment.
And definitely, like, one of the things that I think ties our 3 countries together is also that we're all sort of islanders, effectively, where, you know, living on islands, and the resources that means that you have in terms of lots of fishing, lots of sort of working the land, things like that, are very common between all those 3 places. So.
How do you manage to get together? Because I noted during the sound check that you commented a little while since we've been together. How often are you able to meet and rehearse and then tour together?
We tend to do about 6 tours a year, 6 to 7 tours a year, all over the world, and they tend to be around a month long each. So we're probably about half the year on the road, and then the rest of the time we're in different continents. So it's kind of like a long distance relationship. You know, there's lots of email, lots of Skype, and then, you know, it's a real joy to see each other when we do get to. But it's, you know, there's no denying it's hard to keep a band together, and that's the logistics of it. But in many ways, I think it means that we probably work harder when we are together. Then that's when we do all our rehearsing, we do our coming up with new material, we program in time to do that together. And so, yeah, when we're together, it's this really solid band time, and when we're apart, we're all doing different projects.
Mm. And you do teaching as well?
I used to do teaching. I gave it up. I'm doing my PhD at the moment, so that's my alter ego right now, is being a student and spending many, many hours in libraries. But yeah.
Yeah, you all seem to be quite academically qualified. Is that true, or is that?
Most of us have a music degree or arts degree of some sort, yeah.
Would you say that reflects a trend in overall Celtic music or among musicians generally to get the technical academic background as well as playing? And
I think it's one of these things, it's not a prerequisite, certainly, but it's something that's sort of definitely opened up in the last, it wasn't an option 10, 12 years ago to study music, and now suddenly it is. Actually, no, probably longer, 15 years ago. And now it is. And so I think it's natural that people would like to go and study more about it, that you can get into such a deeper level than you get to do just at school level. But, it's interesting, lots of people who study those trad music degrees don't necessarily want to become professional musicians. And then there's also equally other routes into it. It's definitely not a given that you have to do it. But I think just if you want to immerse yourself more deeply in it, then it's a great way to do that.
We've noticed it and been pleased with it, and talking with bands like Lady Masery and you may perhaps have come across Harpeth Rising, because they met at Music College.
Well, I think that's probably the biggest advantage, is that they are real, sort of melting pots of creativity, and that's where many, many of the bands form, because you meet people and you spend 4 years with them, and inevitably you find kindred spirits. So that part of it is really valuable, and definitely without Limerick, then we wouldn't be together.
Mm. Can I ask you about another song? It's always intriguing when a song has a personal flavour, but also can be widely interpreted, and isn't just emotional. It's and I'm thinking about, is it All Free You? Is that what it's called?
Set You Free.
Yeah. Yes.
Yeah. That was written by John Spillane from Cork, and it's about just if you make mistakes in life, not to worry too much about it, and it'll all be okay in the end. So there's a nice message in it.
And what sort of material are you working on for the new album then?
We're at the moment in the stage of sort of digging deep to find things that we like and to write things. The songs are always hardest to find, so we're kind of searching high and low to find the ones that we're very democratic with the way the band works. Like, all five of us have to like it for it to kind of make it through the filter, which is a long process. We don't necessarily have the same tastes, but then that means that when we do find one that we all agree on, then that probably means it is a really good one and it sort of fits the band sound. So we're always listening, trying to imagine Teresa's voice singing things, or would this sound good on the accordion, or whatever it is, but it's got to be enough that for all of us it's a keeper. So that's hard. It takes a while.
What we've heard in the sound check has been absolutely delightful, and really convinced this is going to be a great kickoff for the live room season 2018.
Okay, yes. So thank you very much for talking to us.
Pleasure. Thank you.
Thanks for having me.